Can you talk a little bit about the side effects and toxicity profile of the agent? And if it turns out that, you know, for example, chemo plus cediranib from an efficacy point of view, let's say, is equivalent to chemo plus bevacizumab, how do you think the risk sort of ratio would play out of the two approaches?
Well, if you look at the data that we have from the Horizon 1 trial, which actually put it against each other, cediranib versus bevacizumab, and we look at the dose that's being moved forward, 20 milligrams a day, the toxicity profile for FOLFOX cediranib is very similar to FOLFOX plus bevacizumab. There are a couple of things that stand out. There was a little bit more, at least numerically, of fatigue, asthenia for the patients receiving cediranib. There is a little bit of dysphonia. Patients have hoarseness with the pill. In my own practice, this has not been a major problem, but it is mentioned by the patients. They do notice sometimes some changes in their voices. And the other side effects are really what you would expect from an anti-VEGF agent. Hypertension is a prominent feature of cediranib, but it's the same thing with all the other agents that target VEGF. We think this has to do with the metabolism of nitrous oxide and release of nitrous oxide in the capillaries, and it's a class effect. How do this compare with bevacizumab? I think that the larger Horizon 3 trial with 1,400 patients will be able to answer this question more appropriately because we'll be putting them two together in a very large number of patients. Right now, we only have a 215-patient trial to try to make something out of that. Right now, I wouldn't be able to tell you which one stands out. One potential advantage of cediranib is that it's a once-a-day pill with a 22-hour half-life, while bevacizumab have a 21-day half-life. So, for example, patients who are being treated with a plan for a subsequent surgery would probably have a benefit of continuing the drug for a longer period of time with cediranib than they would be able to do with bevacizumab. But this is all hypothesis that will need to be tested in the future.
What do we know about wound healing in these TKIs?
The official testing has not been done, to my knowledge. We haven't had any reports of problems with wound healing with cediranib. There has been occasional case reports of wound healing problems with other TKIs that block VEGF. For example, with sunitinib, there has been reports of patients have some wound dehiscence. Again, since those drugs block VEGF and VEGF is very important for healing, you would expect some impact. Nothing major so far, but I wouldn't be surprised if there is some impact on healing as well with cediranib.
You know, the last couple of days, actually, I was thinking about the connection between wound healing and bevacizumab and wondering whether or not there's any connection between the wound healing processes and neoplasia in general.
Well, you know, we do know that the process of angiogenesis was first mentioned by John Hunter when he was studying surgical healing. And now we know that angiogenesis is very important for development of tumors. So it's not surprising that they probably have something in common. I would suspect that there are additional factors other than VEGF that might be different for the angiogenesis in tumors and in the healing process. But the VEGF seems to be a common factor for both.